Welcoming, nurturing, serving.
Welcome to this week's Sunday Worship Podcast from the United Methodist Church of Chugiak. Recorded on February 2nd, 2020, this week's scripture comes to us from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and our gospel reading is found in the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. And whether you are a regular part of our family of faith or joining us for the very first time, we pray something which follows speaks to you and finds a place in your heart.
The reading today is from Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you, and what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Please remain standing for our prayer of illumination. Together, let's pray. Holy God, your blessings are abundant, and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen. Please remain standing for the reading of our gospel as it comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, life in the mind of Dave. I have this sermon in front of me. It's pretty good. All right, but that's not where I'm going. Okay. Holy God, be with us as we go through this movement. Allow your word to guide us and to give us spirit to understanding. Amen. I woke up this morning, and I had been praying all night. God, fill me. I need your presence with me. I need your spirit. I need to feel your strength. I need to know what you're asking me to do so that I can go forth tomorrow and do it. I need to be able to give the words to the congregation, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as to how they know you better, how they can experience you better, how they go forth from taking what we do on a Sunday and enacting it to the rest of their life. Allow me to feel that, God, not just logically, but I need to feel it. I need to see it. I need to see it in action, and I just want it to rain down in glory and grace upon us in this moment and in this time so that we can be in it together. And I cannot get this story out of my head, and I cannot get it off of my heart. So this is where we're starting, and then we're going to see what happens. So my first Sunday, first time preaching, first weekend in Alaska, new to everything. I'm standing in the front of the sanctuary. How many of you have ever been to Girdwood Chapel? Girdwood Chapel, when you open the doors into the space, I mean, you're basically in the church. It's basically a one-room church with a wooden floor, with the seats at that time were connected, and they were in a single section. And I'm up there, and they've kind of gave me an introduction, and I've kind of got that deer in the headlights look because I have no idea what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, the doors open. Well, everyone's looking at me, and we're about 20 minutes into the service. The doors open. And the first thing I see are antlers coming in through the back of the first Sunday, first week in Alaska. And then I see this big snout come around the corner. And I see everybody else just sitting in their seats. And I'm like, what is happening? Did we not shut the door? Maybe this is normal. Maybe reindeer walk through the church in Alaska. Maybe this is the way it's supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, I see the handler behind the reindeer. And everybody in the church starts to laugh. Welcome to Alaska! It disrupted the service. It changed everything for the pattern that I had in my mind of what I thought my first Sunday was to be and what I was to share. It was going to be all about my journey of getting there. It was going to be all about who I was and why it was important for me. And what God brought into this moment, what God brought into this space, was a reindeer. Now, we all got up from our seats. Of course, my kids, it was kind of like, I want to pet the reindeer, but I'm going to stay away from a reindeer because I've never really seen a reindeer. And it might be attached to Santa, and that's a whole other thing we don't want to go to. So it was kind of this mix between mystery, excitement, fear, all in a moment that we come and we gather around this reindeer. So my first official act as a minister in Alaska was laying blessing on a reindeer named Chuckles. Now, to us, it was an icebreaker for me and the congregation. It was a moment for us to join in this levity of the spirit of this occasion, a new minister in their midst, in a land that he knew and his family knew nothing about, but bringing something into that presence which was just elation and joy in the moment of this is only going to happen to you in this space. I was selfish because I thought that reindeer was about me. I thought that reindeer was about my involvement. But that's not where the story ends. See, there was this couple in church visiting that day. Had no idea who I was. Had no idea how I was attached to the church. Had no idea that it was a new pastor and his family being welcomed in. Had no idea that a reindeer was going to come through the back door. Number one, because the young man in that relationship didn't want to be in that space. He didn't want to be in that church. But he was there because he loved his girlfriend, and his girlfriend wanted him to be there with him. He got up when we were blessing Chuckles, and like everyone else that was with us that day, we all put our hands on Chuckles. And we held the blessing, and we prayed in thankfulness for the joy which he had brought to us that day. And as we prayed for that, Russell and Bethany sat with big smiles on their face. And I would see them start to come back to the church. Maybe every third week, maybe every fifth week. And then I got a call one day, and it was Bethany. She couldn't even talk. Couldn't even get through what had happened. But Russell had gone on a ski trip in Colorado. An unexpected snowstorm came, and he tried to weather it out in his car. And his car was covered, and he had it running. And he fell asleep, and he never woke up. She called me, unable to get through that story. And she said, the only reason that he came to church was because God showed himself that day in a reindeer to him. That would have not happened in any other space at any other time, but he needed God to show him that that was a place for him to be, and it was the only place he would ever come to church because he knew that God was there with him in that space. So Bethany and I talked, and we planned on arranging Russell's celebration of life, his funeral. And I just felt this overwhelming sense that the story wasn't over. So I went to my friends at the Wildlife Center, and I said, I need chuckles. Our church was filled. There were people standing in every open space. As everyone gave their testimony about how Russell had touched their life. I'm talking young people from ages 18 to 30. And older people that had come to know him as an adventurer and this essence of light in their lives. Different than you or I probably. But somehow he had a hold on all of these people. And all of this loss that they felt. And in a moment, Chuckles walked back into that sanctuary. And all of the grieving, all of the loss, all of everything that had transpired within all those people by the loss of that man and the great despair that his fiance was in at losing him was transferred to happiness. Because there in front of them was the connection between them, Russell in heaven, and heaven on earth. A reindeer. And what I cannot get out of my head, what does not leave me, is seeing a father draped over the back of a reindeer and saying to himself, my son stood in this place and touched this animal and knew God. That day, those days of worship, those were not the times where we come into space and we check a box to say, thank goodness we're here. Despite the Super Bowl coming on in 4 hours, I made it to church this morning. It's not for the good of ourselves. It's where God intervenes. It's where God comes in and God acts and God changes us for the good, for the better. God makes us stronger because God unites us as one body in Christ. It was not an ordinary worship. It was definitely not what I had planned to do with the traditional structure of the Methodist Church. But it spoke to the person that needed to hear it because God knew what was going to happen 6 months later. God, this is the gist of where I've gotten on my sermon. God showed himself, and he was seen by everyone in the church because they all lowered their guard. That animal, that glorious animal, caused everyone to be themselves for just a moment, to be who God had created them to be who God who wanted them to be, so that they connect with one another. And look what happened. God provided for the healing for a community that was going to grieve 6 months before they knew that they needed it. Our reading today from Micah 6, 1 through 8, and I had a great stuff on this, but it talks to us about the law of the church. It's talking about the legal system of the church, because this is what the Jews, this is how they knew their relationship with God. It was legal agreement. It was a binding contract. It was a covenant that I need to do this in order to know you. I need to do this in order to fulfill all of the boxes and all the check marks. It's kind of like that work order that you get from your contractor when they come to your house and they're going to do something. And you say, this is what you will do. And they say, yes, this is what they'll do. And they check all of that and they give it back to you. That's the legalistic view of the church, and that's what was happening at this time. And they're saying, look, we come and we offer you all of the sacrifices that you want. We anoint all the oil stuff that we're supposed to be anointing, and we do all of these things. We even dedicate the ram to you. What do you want from us? Our firstborn children? Is that what you want? Is that what you demand from us in order that we could continue into being this contract with you? And God says, no. That's not what I want. What I want you to do is quit doing all that stuff out of empty hearts. Quit coming in and just checking the box. Quit coming in and just saying, this is what I'm doing for me. How about coming in and saying, this is what I'm doing for God? How about coming in and saying, this is what I'm going to do so that I can make myself less of me, to let down my guard, to take everything that the world has put in me and spew it all out so that I can refill it with the Spirit of God. I want it all gone because I want all God in. And no, I don't want you to give your firstborn child because I'm going to give mine. That is what God is claiming. And that takes us to the Beatitudes. You know, we hear the Beatitudes all the time. We've heard them so many ways. You hear it as, happy are those, blessed are those. And in our hearts and in our eyes and in our minds, when we come into the space today, it makes sense to us. But let me tell you something. I've been a minister for 4 years. Not even 4 years. I've been a minister for 3.5 years. Yeah. 3.25 of those years, I've been dealing with the politics and the split of the Methodist Church. I've sat in meetings, I've sat in conferences where we can't get past the legalistic view, the legalistic side, the legalistic understanding of the doctrine of the church to move forward to worship God within it. Why? Why? Because we can't get past the humanistic side that we have to be right. We can't get past the humanistic side that our view matters and that we discern what is right and what is wrong, what is just and what is not. We can't get past the idea that we are not in control. God is. When you read these Beatitudes, happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. When you have lost all hope and you have nothing else, you have no other recourse but to be on your knees praying to God, I need you in this moment. And to recognize God's response, I am with you in this moment. It's all you need for the kingdom of heaven to be yours. Happy are people who grieve. They grieve because they have sinned. They grieve because they have separated their lives from that of God, and they put first what is first for them, not first what God would have them do. And they grieve in their inner being because they know that they have separated themselves from God, but yet they don't want to admit it. They don't want to be within God's presence, so they say, no, God. But when we say, yes, God, I grieve because I know that I've done wrong, then God opens up forgiveness, and we have everything that we could possibly want. Humbleness. Happy are those who are humble. Happy are those who do not make themselves above everyone else, and certainly not equal to God. You know, this just came to me, so I guess I need to share it. I'm letting the Spirit guide this one, so we're moving it. You know, the first time I met Bethany and Russell, I saw them sitting in the church as I was getting ready to deliver. I had no idea of knowing that that was their first time. It was my first time, too. But Bethany was what you might consider of a 19, 20-year-old college student from upper-middle-class family. And Russell was not what you would consider to be the guy with Bethany. And I remember thinking that to myself. What is she doing with him? He was asleep during the sermon. She was attentive and all smiles. And I thought to myself, why is he even here? He's not getting anything out of this. I didn't know. I didn't know. Because I wasn't humble enough to admit that I wasn't right. That I didn't know what he was and what God was doing for him. The attitude that's taken with the Beatitudes and the understanding that we have to make is this. God is constantly lowering himself to meet us, to be equal to us, to make himself so much so us that we can understand what it is to be God. God continuously comes down to our level, making himself less and less and less and less to the point where God becomes flesh. Take that into your minds and your hearts for just a moment. Make that understanding of what that truly means for us within this space. That means as you sit here as flesh and blood creatures, that with the ability to die, with the ability to feel pain, with the ability to need medical care, with the ability to feel the loss of a loved one, with the ability to do all of these things in your life that just feel like they're caving in on you, that God didn't have to deal with any of that. And then God said, I want it all. And all God demands of us is to say, God, we want all of you. We want all of the glory. We want all of the grace. We want all of the mercy. We want all of the forgiveness. We want our hearts to be open, not because we can understand who we are, but we want to understand who you are in us. It's an opening of ourselves to God so that God can just pour himself in and that we can become who we're supposed to be and the church can be what it is supposed to be. This is not my sermon on what the Methodist Church is going through. I haven't developed that yet. But let me tell you what we're going through as people. Are you capable? Are we capable? Because I don't know that I am either. Of laying down on the floor and saying, God, everything that I am is of you. Make me whole in you. Make me see the world with your eyes. Make me have the spirit of love that you have. Don't allow me to judge. Don't allow me to come at people with the pointing finger to say that they're wrong or that they're right. But what you do, Lord, is allow me to come at people saying, I know God. Do you? My heart is made whole in God. Is yours? Because I tell you what, when you have the space opening and you truly do make yourself humble, you truly do make yourself low, you truly do step outside the box that you're so used to living in to experience God in a different way, you will experience it. My first day of ministry, God revealed himself in a reindeer. And I had no idea what God was doing. But it was immensely greater than anything I was doing. I challenge us to grow our hearts, to open them up. Guys, I sit in this church all week, and no, sometimes it's no one here but me, Kay, and the Voles and Julie. I tell you, we have a huge space, and you have ideas, and you have hearts. We need to use it. I'm tired of a church that is dead, and I just don't mean our church. I mean churches, the church of God. We've got to make ourselves about going out and doing things for the name of Christ so that people can see the love of Christ through us. And quit going after people who love Christ just the same way that we do, and they express it differently. We need to be a church that matters and that cares. Why did you guys come to Alaska? I guarantee adventure is in the top five. Is it not? I know it was certainly part of the reason that I came, because I wanted to be a missionary. I wanted to go out and I wanted people to feel the love of God that all of a sudden had swept me off my feet and caused me to be a minister at 45. I wanted people to see the difference in their lives and to feel the love of God and to know how it changes them for the better. To know how they can feel empty and then all of a sudden feel full because God has taken them there. We all should feel that way. It shouldn't be okay to not be that way. We don't come to just sit in seats. We don't come to just listen to me drone on and on. We come to this space to raise our praise and to worship God because God has given us the opportunity to know him, to love him, to be with him. And we squander it. What is God calling you to do? What is God opening you up to? What is the adventure that you're waiting for? I don't care if it's through these doors or not, but if God is calling you to do something, share it with us so we can nurture you to do it. We have got to be a family of believers that truly believe. A family of loved ones that truly love. We need to be humble to God. Amen. Christ calls us to be fishers of women and men for the sake of his beloved kingdom. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. You can find us on the web at www.umcchugiak.org, on Twitter at umcchugiak, and on Facebook at facebook.com/umcofchugiak. We hope you'll check back regularly and invite your friends and family to join us. May God's light break through life's overcast and shine on and through each one of us. Until next time, God bless.